Shalom to all. Today's office on Hedgen Chaf Alpha. We are starting near the top with the brand new Mishnah. And today's office sponsor, Lila Nishmas, Mars Mem Sarbas Yaakov Moshe, her Nishama should have an Aliyah. And we continue discussing halachas related to a Jewish king, Lo Yar B'Lo Nashem El Shmoy Nesrei. A king is not an increase. He's not to have too many wives, not more than 18. Now, Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Huda says, Mar Behu Loi, he is allowed to have more than that. It seems he can have as many wives as he wants, according to Rabbi Huda. Ubavach Loi Mysterious Levi, as long as they don't turn his heart away from the service of Hashem. The Pasuk actually tells us, Lo Yar B'Lo Nashem V'Lo Yasser Levavai, then he may not have too many wives, so that they do not turn his heart away, and that seems to be what Rabbi Huda is going with, that he's allowed to have as many wives as he wants, as long as they don't turn his heart away. Whereas Rabbi Shimon tells us, Afilu achas u'mesiris libay, hariz lo yisa'ena. Even if he has one wife, but she's going to turn his heart away from the service of Hashem, he's not allowed to marry her. In Kenev, so asked the Mishnah, lama nemar lo yarbo l'nashim, so why is the Pasuk say, don't have too many wives? It's mashma, can't even have one wife. And the answer is, Afilu kavigayel, even if he's going to have wives, there are such pious and virtuous women, like Avigayel, he's still not allowed to have more than 18. The Gemara asks right away, lamemar, Rabbi Huda darsh time of the krav, Reb Shimon loy darsh time of the krav. Does this mean that Rabbi Huda darshins the reason behind the pasuk, and Reb Shimon does not darshin the reason behind the pasuk? As we explain in the Mishnah, Rabbi Huda darshins that the reason why he's not have too many wives is so they don't turn his heart away. But that's mashma. If they're not going to turn his heart away, then he is allowed to have multiple wives. And Reb Shimon seems not to darshin that. What's the problem with this? We've heard the exact opposite. The Tanya Brassa tells us almana, a widow, bein she'ania bein she'ashira, whether she's poor or wealthy, in mashkenosa, we can't take a mashka and a collateral or a security from her for her loan. Shenamar, because the pasuk says, don't take the garment of an almana as a security. That's Rabbi Huda's opinion. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says, Ashira Mashkenosa, if she's wealthy, we could take a collateral from her. Ania, if she's poor in Mashkenosa, then we're not going to take a collateral from her. And you have to return it to her, and you're going to end up causing her to get a bad name among her neighbors. And we say, what exactly is being said over here? And the answer is, this is what's being said. Since you're taking a mashken from her, you take a collateral from her, you have to return it to her. That's what the pasuk says. The pasuk tells us that when a person takes a mashkin from somebody for a loan, he has to bring it back so a person could use it. For example, if the lender took PJs as a collateral, he has to bring them back at night so that the borrower can use them. And the problem is, when this collateral is being returned to the woman, you're going to cause her a bad name among her neighbors because there's going to be this strange man coming by every evening and morning. They're not going to realize that he's dropping off the collateral and picking it back up. They're going to think he's having improper relations with the woman, therefore no taking a mashkin from her. Alma, what do we see from here, says the Gemara? Rabbi Huda Darsh time of the Kra. Rabbi Huda does not darshan time of the Kra. And he says, bottom line, it doesn't make a difference. It's irrelevant if she's poor or wealthy. No taking a mashkin from her. Whereas Rabbi Shimon darsh time of the Kra. Rabbi Shimon does darshan time of the Kra. And therefore, if she's wealthy, we could take a mashkin from her because we're not going to run into this issue due to the fact that the lender doesn't have to return the mashkin to her. She's wealthy enough and doesn't need the PJs to be returned. So my answer is really, Ba'alma Rabbi Huda darsh time of the Kra. You're right. Rabbi Huda does not darshan time of the Kra. But Vashani Hacha, specifically over here, by a king's wives, it's totally different. The Mefarish time of the Kra. The Pasuk itself explains why he's not allowed to get married to too many women. Matam lo yar b'lo nashim. Why is he not allowed to have too many wives? Mishum de lo yasser levavai, so that they do not turn away his heart. And that's why Rabbi Huda in our Mishnah specifically says yes, time to crop, because the pasuk itself explains itself. Whereas Rabbi Shimon Amar Lecha, Rabbi Shimon would tell you, Michti, let's see, ba'alma darshin in time to crop. Really, I usually do darshin time to crop. Im kain of so, lichtav crop lo yar b'lo nashim. If that's really so, all the pasuk regarding king's wives should say is lo yar b'lo nashim, velishtaik, and it shouldn't say anything else. It should be quiet. Va'anu amina, and I'll tell myself, why is a king not allowed to have too many wives? Mishum do loyaser, so they don't turn away his heart. But I would have made that calculation on my own, and therefore loyaser lomali. Why does the pasuk now speak out loyaser? It must be, says Rav Shimon, afilu achasim seriously, boy. Even if he is going to have one wife, who's going to turn away his heart? I raise loyaser, and no, he's not allowed to marry her. Elmani mekayim loyarbe. So then, what do I learn from the words of loyarbe? That afilu kavigayel, that even if his wives are all wonderful, virtuous women like Avigayel, he's still not to marry more than 18. The Gemara continues, Hani Shmaya Esrei Menalan. How do we know that a king's allowed to marry 18 wives? Because the pasuk says, David, and sons were born to David when he lived in Chevron. This is before he came to Yerushalayim. He reigned in Chevron for 7 years. And his firstborn was Amnon. That was the boy's name. La'achinayim Israelis, who was born to Achinayim Israelis. Umishnehu, and his second son was Kilav La'avigayel Ishas Naval Carmeli, born to Avigayel, who was formerly the wife of Naval Carmeli. Vashlishi, the third son, was Avshalom ben Macha. Vervi, the fourth son, was Adonia ben Chagis. Vachamishi, the fifth son, was Shvati ben Avital. Vashishi, the sixth son, was Yisraim La'egla Ishas David, Yisraim, who was born to Egla, the wife of David. Eli Yodel David B'Chevron, these were born to David in Chevron. Bekarmeli Navi, and Navi Nasan told David HaMelech, Im Ma'at V'Sifil Chakohen V'Chahena, if it's too few, I'll add for you like this and like that. The Navi was telling David that if you feel like you don't have enough wives, you could add on Kohen V'Chahena. What does this mean? Kohena Shis, like this, is six, because you already had six wives, so Kohena means I'll add on another six wives, V'Kohena Shis. And the second time it says the word V'Kohena, that's another six. Davu Tam Am Yisrael, that's a total of 18 wives. So we see that a Jewish king's allowed to marry a maximum of 18 wives. Our Maskel Ravina Ravina asks the fun question. Emo, one, I understand the pasuk as follows. Kohena Tart Yisrael. The first word Kohena doubles the current amount of wives that he has to make it a total of 12. And the Kohena, the second word tells us, Esun V'Arba, 24. Because now the 12 wives are doubled to 24. And Tainam Hachavik, I have a rasa like this. Lo Yabrilin Noshim, Yosrim Esun V'Arba. Then a king's actually not allowed to have more than 24 wives, not 18. So that's a different opinion. And Ulman Dar Shvav, according to one who darshins an extra letter Vav, Abraham Yushman Havu, a king could actually have 48 wives. Tainam Hachavik, I have a rasa just like this. Lo Yabrilin Noshim, Yosrim Abraham Yushman, that a king's not allowed to have more than 48 wives. And the way this would be understood would be Kohena, that doubles the 6 to 12. The Vav of Vikohena doubles the 12 to 24. And then the second word, Kohena, without the Vav, doubles the 24 to 48. Now, Tanya Don, what about our Tano? My Taima, why does he say it's only 18 and not 24 or 48? So Rav Kani explains, Makish Kohena Basra L'Kohena Kama, he makes a hekesh between the second Kohena in the Pasuk and the first Kohena. Makohena Kama, Shes, just like when the Navi told him the first word Kohena, he only had 6 wives, Af Kohena Basra, Shes, so too, the second word Kohena is referring to 6 wives and not any more than that. Ask the Gemara, hold on 1 second. Vavai Michal, David Al-Mech was also married to Michal. This Pasuk mentioned 6 women and Michal was not included, so he didn't have 6 wives, he really had 7. And Amarav, he answers, Egla Zu Michal, the last wife that's mentioned in the above Pasuk, Egla, that is Michal, it's the same person. Volmane Kershma Egla, why is she being called Egla? Shechaviva Olivka Egla, because she was beloved to him, to David HaMelech, like an Egla, like a calf. It's a lashon of endearment to call a beloved one a calf. And Vechenu Oimer, it also says that Shimshon HaGibor told the Pelishtim, Luli Charashtim Beglossi Vegoimer, if not for the fact that you plowed with my calf, and over there he's referring to his wife, you see that wife could be called a calf. Asking her, hold on 1 second, Miaval Michal Bani, did Michal really have children? The Pasuk says that Egla had a child, and if Egla is Michal, that means Michal had a child. But Michal didn't have children, because we have a pasuk that says, Ulmichal Bashal, Loi Hayel of Vlad, Adyo Emaisa. The Michal Bashal did not have children until the day she died. Now, this refers to the story of the Arun's return. It was captured by the Plishtim in the days of Shaul HaMelech, and many years later, when David was king, the Plishtim returned it, and during the festivities, David was dancing with all his might. Michal felt it was beneath his covet to dance like that and expressed her disapproval, and David got angry with her because it wasn't an issue of covet, it's dancing for the Torah, and her punishment was that she didn't have any children. And so, how could we say that Michal's Egla, asked the Gemara? On this, Amar Chizza, he answers, Adyo Emaisa, Loi Hayel. She didn't have children until the day she died. But b'yoy ma'isa hayala, the day that she died, she had a child. Asking more mechti, let's see. Banim hecha kachashav luhu bechevron. This pasuk that mentions all the different sons that David HaMelech had, that was when he was still living in Chevron before he came to Yerushalayim. Vilu ma'isa Michal b'Yerushalayim hava. But the whole story of Michal that we just mentioned, that happened in Yerushalayim way after Chevron. The pasuk says u'micha b'ashal nishkva b'har chaloin. Michal d'arav shol was looking from the window b'teres HaMelech David and she saw King David mafazes u'mecharkel lifnei Hashem leaping and dancing in front of Hashem v'tivez and she scorned him in her heart. And Amar Yehuda v'timur of Yosef, Jekalta Michal and Metarpasa, Michal got paid her due that she didn't have children till the day that she died. So the Gemara clarifies, I'll say, Ad Oisoy Maisa Hayolah. Up until that story, meaning before the whole story of the Aron happened, she did have children. Mikan v'elach, Lo Hayolah, but from then on, she didn't have children. The Gemara continues discussing David HaMelech's wives, but we have another passage that tells us, V'ikach David Oid Pilakshim U'Nashim Yerushalayim. The David took, meaning he married, more Pilakshim and women in Yerushalayim. So how could you say that he only had this amount of wives? And the answer is, Maliyush Man Asar. He married these women to complete the count of 18. This previous pasuk was talking about only 6 wives that he had, but the Navi had told him that he could have up until 18, so he married up until 18. Ask the Gemara, my Nashim, my Pilakshim, what's the difference between a wife and a Pelegesh? Amar Rav Yudam Ravi explains, Nashim b'ksuba b'kidushin, a wife is married with a ksuba and she has official kidushin, whereas Pilakshim, concubines, b'loi ksuba b'loi kidushin, that's without ksuba and without kidushin. And continue to discuss David HaMelech, Amar Rav Yudam Rav, Ira Meos Yuladim, Hayla David, David HaMelech had 400 children, v'kol b'nei Yifayis Tayar Hayu, they were all the sons of Yifayis Tayar. We know there's a parsha of Yifayis Tayar which allows, under certain circumstances, for a Jewish soldier to live with a non-Jewish woman whom he encounters during battle, and so David had 400 children from these Yifayis Tayar. Umegali Belayris Hayu, and they grew Belayris. This is the way non-Jews would grow their hair. It was like an extra piece in the back that grew out long. V'kulon Yashim v'kron shalazav, all them sat in chariots of gold, umehalchen brashe giyasais, and they went at the head of the army in order to frighten enemies. V'imayu b'alagrefim shalbeis David, and they were the strong men in David's house. Another matter about David HaMelech, Rabbi Yehuda Amarav, Tamar, Basifas Tayar Haysa, Tamar, the daughter of David HaMelech, was the daughter of Yifas Tayar. This refers to the story of Amnon and Tamar, two children of David HaMelech. In very short, Amnon desired his half-sister Tamar. His friend advised him, why not pretend that you're sick, ask that Tamar come and serve you. He did so, when she came to the room, he violated her. So the Gemara is now telling us that Tamar was the daughter of Yifas Tayar. Shemar, because the pasuk says, in her conversation with Amnon, when she tried to convince him not to do this terrible act to her, she told him, Va'ato now, Dabar Na'al HaMelech, please speak to the king, Kilo Yimne'enu Mecca. He's not going to hold you back from me. Meaning, why don't you speak to David, our father, and he'll marry you off to me legally. You don't have to do this terrible thing. Nisuin Havai, if you want to say that she was the daughter of a woman whom David HaMelech married legally according to Halacha and not the daughter of Hastayar, Achasimi Havasharile, would his sister be permitted to him? El Shema Mino, must we learn from here? Again, from the fact that Tamar suggested that Amnon just marry her halachically, it must be that Basi Hastayar Haisa, she was the daughter of Hastayar, and that means that at the time of her birth, she wasn't even considered Jewish, which makes her not really a daughter of David HaMelech, and that means that she's not a half sister of Amnon, which would mean that she's allowed to marry him. Now we continue discussing Amnon. The pasuk says, "Ula Amnon Rea." Amnon had a friend, Ushma Yonadav ben Shima, Achi David, and his name was Yonadav ben Shima, the brother of David. Vahay Ishchacham Gomer, and he was a wise man. Now Omer of Yudim Ravi clarifies, Ishchacham Lirisha, he was a wise man for evil things, because he gave a terrible piece of advice to Amnon. The pasuk continues, Vayomer, and his friend told him, Maduata Kachadal ben Amelech, why are you so gaunt? Why are you so weak, son of the king? And then Amnon explained to him, it's because he desires his sister Tamar. And Vayomer Yonadav, Yonadav told him, Shchava Mishkavcha, lay on your bed, Vahaschal Vagomer, and pretend to be sick. And then when David HaMelech comes to visit you, say that you want your half sister Tamar to come and serve you food. I didn't continue reading the pasuk up until Vasta Le'enai Siberia, that she should make the food in front of me. Another pasuk tells us that Tamar actually came to the room, Vatika Chamasris Vatitzik Lefanov, and she took the pan and she poured in front of him. Amar Yehuda Marav, he explains, She'asla Mine Tigon, she made all sorts of fried foods for Amnon. Now the Gemara picks up with this story. After he already violated her, the pasuk tells us, V'yisna'ah Amnon sinna gedoyla ma'oid, and Amnon hated her a very big hatred. And the question is, my time, why did he hate her? And Amar Yitzchak, he answers, Nima Nikshralai, Vasasai Kris Shafcha, that she tied a hair and made him a Kris Shafcha. The hair over here is referring to a hair of a private area, and she tied a hair around his male member, and that made him a Kris Shafcha, which basically cut his Aver Tashmish. As Amar Vachin Nikshralai, Ihi my Avda, did she tie it on him? What did she do? She didn't do anything. El Ema, rather, I'll say, Kashralai Nima, that a hair got tied on him. It's not that she did it, Vasasai Kris Shafcha, and that turned him into Kris Shafcha. As the Amar, how could this be? Ain't is this really so? Vadarsh Rava, Rava Darshan, Maitachsev, what's Pshat in the Pasuk? Vayetzi Lach Shem Bagayim Biafyech, and your name has gone out among the nations regarding your beauty. And what does this tell us? She'en Lachem Bnei Yisrael, the Jewish women did not have Loisar Beis HaShechi, not hair in the armpit, Veloy Beis HaErva, and not hair in the private spot. So how could it be that a hair from a private spot got tied around his Aver? She didn't have hair there. And the answer is, Shani Tomer de Basvas Tayar Havai. Tamar was different, because as we said, she was the daughter of Vas Tayar, which means her mother was not Jewish, and it does make her Jewish from birth, so therefore she did have hair over there. The Gemara continues describing what happened afterwards. Batikach Tamar Efer al Roisha, Tamar placed ashes on her forehead, and the fine wool garment that she was wearing she tore, and she went around crying and screaming about the shame that she just suffered. And Tanan Shmeid Rishum and Karcha was Tanan Rishum and Karcha, Gather Gadol Gadra Tamar, Tamar made a very big fence or very big protection at that time. But Shamru, at that time everyone said, Lebnois Malachim Kach, if such a thing could happen to the daughters of kings, Lebnois said, Yotis Lachas Kamav Kama, for sure such a thing could happen to the daughter of a regular person. And Lebnois Kach, if such a thing could happen to a modest person like Tamar, Lebnois Lachas Kamav Kama, for sure such a thing could happen to a Prutza, and so everyone has to be very careful of such a thing happening. And I'm reviewed on Rav, but Isa Shah at that time, Gazri Lecham were Geyser, Chaf Alfon Bez on the top, Al Yichud Val Pnuya, regarding Yichud, which is occluding oneself with an Erva, and Pnuya is with a non married woman. Ask more Yichud Dai Raisu, Yichud is Asr Dai Raisa. They didn't even make a Gzeira that Yichud's Asr, Dom Rav Yechim Shem Shem Yitzadok, Remez Lichim Natam Renayin, where we find the Remez for Yichud in the Torah, Shem because the Pasuk says, Ki Yisis Chalchicha Beni Mecha, if your brother, the son of your mother, is going to try to turn you away and tell you in private, let's go serve a different God. Now the question is, Vichi Ben A Mesis, Ben Av Eni Mesis, only the son of a mother is going to try to turn you away and not the son of a father. El rather, what's the pasuk telling you? Ben misyachinim imoy ve'ein acher misyachinim kol arayas shebetayra, that a son is allowed to be misyachin with his mother, but all other arayas are not allowed to be misyachin with each other. So what's this gzeir that they made al hayichud? And the answer is el ha'ema, rather I'll say gazra al yichud dipnuya, that they were gazra on yichud of a pnuya, that one is not allowed to be misyachin even with a non-married woman. Now we have one last memory about David HaMelech's sons. It says in the pasuk, Adonai ben Chagis misnasi lemar ani emloich. Adonai ben Chagis, he elevated himself saying, I'm going to rule, I'm going to be the king. Now, Omer of Yudam Ravi explains, this teaches us that he tried to fit the crown on his head, but it didn't fit on his head. There was a special crown that all the kings of Machzor Beis David wore that had a bar through it, and it only fit on a person whose head had a little indentation so that the bar could fit. And that was a true sign that he's going to be the next king. Adonai tried to put the crown on his head, and it didn't fit. And lastly, regarding Adonai trying to rule, it says, and he made himself a chariot and horsemen and 50 men running in front of him. That was the way he acted like the king. The question is, Mayravusa, what's the chiddush over here? Just because he had 50 people running in front of him, that's nothing special. He's a prince. It makes sense that any prince would have 50 people running in front of him. Why does this show that he tried to be king? So Rav Yudam Ravi explains, Kulin and Tulei Tchal, all these people that were running in front of him had their spleens taken out. A spleen makes a person sluggish, and if it's taken out, they can run faster. V'chakuke kapas reglaim hayu, and the bottom of their feet, their soles were carved out, meaning they didn't have any feeling in the bottom of their feet, so they could run even faster, and they could step on thorns and broken glass and pebbles and whatnot, and they wouldn't have any issues, because again, they had no feeling in the bottom bottom of their feet, and this is something that only a king would have, not just a regular prince. And moving on to another Mishnah, continuing to discuss halachas related to kings, lo yarbo le'susim, he's not allowed to have too many horses, el kdei markavtoi, except just what he needs for his chariot, because zov lo yarbo le'ma'od, the pasuk tells he's not allowed to have too much silver and gold, el kdei liten asfanyo, only to be able to pay his troops, and also because lo sefer tayr l'shmai, he has to write a sefer tayr for himself, yotzel mechama metzi imai, when he goes out to war, it goes with him, nichnashu machnisa imai, when he goes in from war, it comes with him, yeshabedin, when he sits in judgment, he imai, the sefer tayr is with him, mesav, he kenegdai, when he's reclining, it's opposite him, shemar, because the pasuk says, vayisa imai v'kar boy kol mechayav, and it shall be with him, and he shall read from it all the days of his life. So the Gemara explains, Tanarbanu v'yav b'raisa, the pasuk tells us, lo yarbo le'susim, he's not increased and have too many horses. Now, yachol, afilu k'dei markavtoi p'rashav, you might think he's not allowed to even have enough horses for his chariot and his cavalry of his army. And on this, Tamalem, the pasuk says, loy, as in the pasuk, lo yarbo le'susim. This tells us, loy einar marbe, if he just wants to have personal horses, a whole collection, that's asur. Aval marbehu k'dei richbo p'rashav, he is allowed to have a lot of horses for his chariots and cavalry. The pasuk continues, amani mekayim susim. So why does the pasuk say multiple horses? The answer is, susim habatlonin, it means he's not allowed to have horses that are just idle, sitting around doing nothing, has to be there for a particular purpose. We continue asking, how do we know if he has even just one horse that's sitting around and doing nothing, and it's not for a particular purpose, it's just there as part of the collection that he's already over the Isra of Layarbe? Tom Lemmer, because the pasuk says, Laman Harboy Sus, this is the very same pasuk that tells us that he's not have too many horses, and adds on by saying, Laman Harboy Sus, so that tells us even if he has one extra horse that's not here for any purpose, that's already a lav. So the question is, now that we just said that even if he has one extra sus, which is batal, he already has his iser, susim lomali. Why do we have to have the word susim, which is plural? What does that teach us? And the answer is, laver bleisas el kol sus v'sus, that's telling us that he's over loisase for every single extra horse that he has, which is not for a purpose, and it's just sitting around doing nothing meant for his collection. Ask more, hold on a second. Time at the Rachman Oloi. It seems to be the only reason why the king is allowed to have multiple horses for his chariots and cavalry is because the pasuk says loy, and that means that the iser is only on him. Olav hachib, it's mashal, without that word, havamin, I would think, afil kadei rechbo prash of nami loy, that he wouldn't even be allowed to have sufficient horses for his chariots and cavalry, and that doesn't make sense. How could it be that a king wouldn't be able to have enough horses for his army? And the answer is, loy tzrichet chedeshez lafushe, it means to have extra. In other words, he's not allowed to just have a collection of horses to grandize himself with, look how many horses I have, I'm so chashav, but he is allowed to have horses for his chariots and cavalry even more than necessary, because if he wants to expand his army, he'll have those in store. We continue discussing the next part of Mishnah, because of Zavol Yarboloi, Al-Kdei he's not allowed to have too much gold or silver, only enough to pay his troops, and Tanarbanu v'yav b'raisa tells us, because of Zavol Yarboloi, he's not allowed to have too much gold and silver, Yochel, you might think, Afil Kdei Litan Asfanya, that he's not allowed to even have enough gold and silver to pay his army, Tamalam Erloi, that's what Pasuk says, him, Loi Einar Marbe, he's not allowed to have too much gold and silver, he can't just have storage houses of gold and silver to show off his wealth, Avol Marbehu Kdei Litan Asfanya, but he is allowed to gather enough gold and silver to be able to pay his troops. Asking more a similar kasha to we just asked before. Time because Rachman Oloi. Seems to be the only reason why we're saying he's not allowed to have too much money is because it says the word loy. Holav hachi, mashma, without that word, havamina, I would think, afil k'dei liten asfanya nami loy, that he wouldn't even be allowed to gather enough gold and silver to pay his troops. How does that make sense? The answer is, you're right, loy tzricha l'chidesh is larvacha, to have extra cash if he wants to expand the army, that's the chidesh over here, but if it's his own personal wealth, and he just wants to have storage houses of gold and silver to show off how much money he has, that's not okay. Hashda amrit loy l'joshua, now that you're saying this word loy is meant to be darshined, the loy arbel loy nashim, my darshus bay. What's the word loy arbel loy nashim coming to teach us? And the answer is, l'mut adyotis, it's excluding regular people. A king is not allowed to have more than 18 wives, but a regular person doesn't have that iser. The more continues, Rabbi Huda Rami, Rabbi Huda asks the following steer in psukim, ksiv, it says in one pasuk, by Hila Shlome, arbaim elef arvo susal markavtoi, Shlome Melech had 40,000 lines of stalls of horses for his chariot. Inside a stable, you're going to have a line of stalls. That's the whole line in which each horse gets its own stall. So his first pasuk tells us that he had 40,000 lines of stalls of horses. And ksiv, another pasuk says, by Hila Shlome, arbas alafim arvo susim. The Shlome had 4,000 lines of stalls. Ha-ketzad, how do we explain this? And the answer is, im arbaim elef itzablaiz hayu, if he had 40,000 stables, kol echad ve'echad, hayu bay, dal alafim arvo susim, that means each and every stable had 4,000 lines of stalls. And vim dal alafim itzablaiz hayu, if you want to say that he had 4,000 stables and not 40,000, kol echad ve'echad, in each and every stable, hayu bay arbaim elef arvo susim, he had 40,000 lines of stalls. And so whichever way you slice it, Shlome HaMelech had quite a crazy amount of horses. Now, Rav Yitzchak Rami, Rav Yitzchak has a stira, ksiv in one pasuk it says, in kesav nechshav emei Shlome l'muma, the silver wasn't important at all in the days of Shlome HaMelech. He was so wealthy, silver was like nothing. Ksiv, but another pasuk says, v'yitin Shlome sekesav Yerushalayim kavanim, that silver was like stones in Yerushalayim, which means it didn't have some value. A stone is not worth much, but at least has some value. And so the question is, did silver have no value whatsoever, or did it at least have some sort of minimal value? And the answer is, lo kasha, no problem. Kan kadim shenasa Shlome bas parai, the first pasuk is before Shlomo Melech married the daughter of Paroi. Kan, the second pasuk is la'achar shenasa Shlomo es bas Paroi, after Shlomo Melech married the daughter of Paroi, because of this aver of his, he lost a little bit of his wealth, so silver went from being worth nothing to being worth like a stone. Now, once we mention Shlomo marrying the daughter of Paroi, the Gemara continues, Amar Vilsa Rizik says, b'shah shenasa Shlomo es bas Paroi, when Shlomo married the daughter of Paroi, yard Gavriel v'naz kana bayam, Gavriel Malch came down and placed a reed into the sea, v'hel a sirtoin, and a sand being gathered around it, v'al of niv v'nekrach gadol shabaraimi, and on that, the great city of Rome, meaning all of Italy and Rome, was built on that reed. And Rizik also says, b'mnei ma'aloin is gal v'tayim etayro, why is it that certain reasons of mitzvahs in the Torah weren't revealed? For example, the Torah doesn't explain why we can't wear shat nisri chazer, and the answer is, sharei shtei mekrais is gal v'taymon, their two psukim, that their reasons were revealed, v'nechshav ben gadol ha'olam, and the great one of the world stumbled in them. Save one pasuk says, lo yarbo l'nashim v'goymer, a Jewish king is not allowed to have too many wives, so that they do not turn his heart away. And Amr Shlomo said, ani arbe, I'm going to have a lot of wives, v'loy aser, and they're not going to turn my heart away. Uksiv, what the pasuk says, v'hilei zikna Shlomai, it was when Shlomo got old, nashav hitu his levavai, his wives turned his heart away. So we see that he fell in that. And Uksiv, another pasuk says, loy arbe loy susim v'goymer, he shouldn't have too many horses. And the reason for that, as the pasuk continues, is so that one should not go back to Mitzrayim. That's where all the good horses were. And Amr Shlomo said, ani arbe, I'm going to have a lot of horses, v'loy aser, and I'm not going to go back to Mitzrayim. Uksiv, what does the pasuk say? V'tetzim rekav Mitzrayim, b'sheish v'goymer, a chariot left Mitzrayim worth 600 silver coins, as we see that he was over on this pasuk as well. I think Mark Tins explained in the Mishnah, because of a sefer Torah l'shmai, a king has to write a sefer Torah in his own name. Now, Tanah, we have a brass that says, as long as he doesn't beautify himself with his father's Torah, which means, even if he got a Torah from his father, he has to write his own sefer Torah. Now, Rav Rava tells us, even if a person's father left him a sefer Torah, mitzvah lechtem yishalai, it's a mitzvah for him to write his own Torah. Shemar, because the pasuk says, v'ata kisvu lachem es ashira, and you shall write for yourselves this shira, which is referring to sefer Torah. So every person has to write their own sefer Torah. Now, Esvi Abaye Vai asks the following. We have a brass that says, because of Loi's sefer Torah l'shmai, he should write a sefer Torah for himself. Shaloi is not b'shal acherim. He shouldn't use somebody else's sefer Torah. And this seems to tell us that Melech in had yet Loi. This only applies to a king and not to a regular person. And so when it says Loi tzrich lo chadashiz l'shtei Torahs, that a king, he needs to have two sefer Torah. Uchli times like the following brisa, the pasuk tells us, because of Loi's mishnah v'gaymer, and you shall write for yourself this mishnah ha-Torah. Now, mishnah literally translated means repetition or double. And so how do we understand this pasuk? Kaisav l'shmai shtei tyrais, a Jewish king has to write two tyrais for himself. Achas sheyotzev nechasas imai, one that goes in and out with him, meaning it's always with him. Vachas in one tyrash, shemenachas loy b'nei z'gnozov, which is in his private storage house. Aisa sheyotzev nechasas imai, this one that goes in and out with him, meaning he's always carrying it with him. Skip the parentheses. Ein nechas ba loy l'beis amrechatz v'loy l'beis akisei, he doesn't go into the bathhouse or into the bathroom with it. Shemar kaz pasuk says, v'haisi imai v'karabai, and shall be with him and he shall read from it. What do we learn from here? Makam aroy likers by, he only brings it to a place where he could read from it. As you can't read from a Torah in a bathhouse or bathroom, so he doesn't get brought there. And that's the difference between a king and a hadyot. A hadyot just needs one sefer Torah, where a king needs two sefer Torah. That's understanding this pasuk because of loy as mishneh ha-Torah. Now we're going to bring another explanation of this pasuk. Amar Zutra, he tells us, vitei mar ukva, some say it's mar ukva, but chila, originally, nene Torah l'Yisrael b'ksav ivri v'lashon ha-kodesh. The Torah was given to Am Yisrael in ksav ivri and lashon ha-kodesh, meaning it was read in lashon ha-kodesh, but it was written in ksav ivri, which is some sort of ancient Hebrew script. However, chaz v'nitin lohem me Ezra, in the times of Ezra Sefer, it was given to them again, b'ksav ashuris v'lashon ha-rami, written in ksav ashuris, which is the writing that our Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzos are written with, and in Aramaic. They spoke Aramaic back in the day. And Ber Lohen Yisrael, what did the Yidden choose for themselves? Ksav ashuris v'lashon ha-kodesh, that the writing was in ksav ashuris, and the way that it's read and spoken is lashon ha-kodesh, not in Aramaic. V'nichol ed-yotos ksav ivris v'lashon ha-rami, and they left this ksav ivris and lashon ha-rami for the ed-yotos. The question is, man ed-yotos, who are these ed-yotos? Amrav Chizdi explains, Kusai, it's referring to the Kusim, who nowadays are known as the Samaritans, who actually do use ksav ivris in their Sifrei Torah. And the question is, my ksav ivris, what is this ksav ivris, which we explained as ancient Hebrew script? So Rav Chizki explains, ksav livayna, it's this very large script. Again, it's different than ksav ashuris, but it was also written very large. And Tanya Vibras, Rav Yisrael Emer, he tells us, Roy hoyo Ezra shetinas and Torah l'yadal Yisrael, Ezra has cipher was fitting, the Torah could have been given through him to Am Yisrael, imbalikin Moshe, if not for the fact that Moshe came before him. And how do we know this? Because Moshe Emer, by Moshe Rabbeinu it says, Umoshe alalikim, that Moshe went up to Hashem, that's when he was receiving the Torah. And by Ezra Emer, what does it say by Ezra? Who Ezra alayim bavel? He's Ezra who was alayim bavel. And what do we learn from here? Ma aliyah ha'amar kan b'Torah, just like the aliyah that said by Moshe Rabbeinu, that's referring to going up to Har Sinai to get the Torah, af aliyah ha'amar lalon, Torah. So to the aliyah of Ezra is referring to giving the Torah in some aspect. Also, by Moshe Emer, Moshe it says, v'oisi tziva Hashem o'esai hi lamed eschem chukim mishpatim, and by Ezra Emer, by Ezra it says, ki Ezra heichel levavai lidrashas Torahs Hashem v'lasus lamed b'Yisrael chayku mishpat. So we have this very same lashon by Moshe and Ezra. Now, v'afal pi shaloin in a Torah al yadai, even though the Torah wasn't given given through Ezra, because as we know, Moshe came before Ezra, still Nishtan al Yada Eksav, the Ksav of the Torah was changed, though in a way it's like he gave the Torah. How do we know this? Because the Pasuk says, Chafez Amralf on the top, this is from Sefer Ezra, Uksav Hanishtavan Kosav Aramis from Muturgam Aramis, and the changed writing was written in Aramaic and expressed in Aramaic. Uksav, another Pasuk says, Loicha Alim Ksav Ul Mikre, Upishre Loidal Malka, they couldn't read the writing and interpret it to the king. Only Daniel knew how to read this writing because it was a new script that no one understood. Uksav, another Pasuk says, Vikasav Es Mishnah Torah Azois, and he shall write this Mishnah Torah. This is the Pasuk that we quoted before. And so what's the explanation of the Pasuk? Ksav Haroi Lishtanois, this Mishnah Torah doesn't mean repetition, but it's a lashon of lishtanos, to be changed. This is a ksav, a writing, a script that will be changed eventually, and we see that happened in the days of Ezra. Now we just explained, lo manikra ashuris, why is this called ksav ashuris, shaliman me ashur, because it came with them from Ashur. That's where this script, this type of writing, took hold when the Yidden were in Ashur, and that's what's called ksav ashuris. We're going to stop it for the day and pick up tomorrow and continue to discuss this. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.